good morning. Once again, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. It is April 11th, 2026, and we welcome you. I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Will.
Good morning, guys.
Well, thanks for being here. Will, would you start us off with a word of prayer this morning, please, sir?
You bet. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, oh God, just rejoicing and praising your name. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity and the freedom to get together this morning and have a good conversation. And Lord, we pray that it will be pleasing to your ears, Lord, and that we will reach out to the remnant no matter where they're at, oh God, and that they will be uplifted from this conversation. Lord, maybe we'll learn a little bit together. And Lord, we just continue to pray for mercy on our people and safety for our people, oh Lord. And we just pray for your blood to cover us and keep us safe from the evils of this old world. And we come to you now asking in your name. Amen.
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 Well, there is definitely a lot to talk about, but let's start off with some world news and across the pond, so to speak. But, man, what are you guys hearing about going on over in Ireland? It's the part that I like about some of this stuff is, you know, they're like, we need to have an open democratic debate, not an armed one. I guess some of the good U.S. or good citizens of Ireland, well, they kind of think otherwise, and they like the armed protest.
Well, they really
maybe they think they go ahead, Tim.
Go ahead, Will. They really like the idea that they need some. It doesn't do any good to do these unarmed talks. They all talk about that. What that really means in newspeak is, we're going to do it our way and nothing's going to change and you're going to like it, you know. So it's like they really don't understand anything else, it seems to me. It's got to get pretty nasty before you can bring them to the table to get a conversation or get some change made. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's evident, Jason, that if you look at what's going on, you know, we're talking about these. There's a group that's getting together and arming up and gunning up and kind of telling the government they're done with this immigration stuff. But the reason I think, or at least a good reason to say they're probably justified in their action on that is there's a protest or was a protest going on, I think yesterday, day before yesterday, where you had truckers and farmers that were protesting the high price of fuel in Ireland with all of this diesel problems that we're having. And the dadgum Irish government sent the army out, the military, to break up these protests. And these were guys that were just parking their trucks and peacefully protesting, and they get the military turned on them. Maybe that's why this other group has decided, yeah, maybe we'll be a little more effective this way.
Yeah. Kind of reminds you of our own group where, you know, our forefathers said standing armies and governments are worse than standing armies. And I know one thing I read in this one article I was reading on the Irish thing that was interesting. The quote was that is when you begin to see the formation of groups like this who not only distrust government, but see the political establishment as an enemy. You know, and that's just a little bite out of it. But it's like,
no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is it is basically, I mean, from what I understand, I mean, they got a huge, you know, what they're calling them, asylum seekers and, you know, immigration. But it's the illegal immigration over there that has gotten out of control, you know, on top of it. And that's what they're really upset about is the illegal immigration.
Yeah.
From what I understand, I mean, you guys correct me. I think that's what it is. I think that's what they're ticked off about.
Yeah. Well there's already a lot of economic strain. Go ahead, Will. Sorry.
Yes. No. You go ahead, Tim.
there's a lot of economic strain going on over there too. I mean, between the farms, and Will already said it, the diesel situation, but it's even more deep seated and longer of longer history than that. I mean, you know, they have been, Ireland's been, you know, under the thumb of the world economic debilitation for quite a while. I mean, they, you know, which, I don't know. I mean, you could probably take that all the way back to maybe even the 1700s, but yeah, they like to beat them down. So.
Yeah. Economic. It's taken an economic toll on the people. And I mean, that's what the people of Ireland are realizing, is they're like, these stinking illegal immigrants are getting treated better than we are. And we're the ones that are paying the price for it.
Yep.
And have been for hundreds of years.
Right.
Like what Tim was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's going on all the way across Europe. I mean, I just seen a soundbite. I think it was from Germany, if I'm not mistaken. But there's quite a bit of pressure from groups there that barely make the news about booting out all these illegal immigrants. You know, I mean, 80% of the people there are not white. They don't use the word white. They use the word, you know, of foreign origin. But it means the same thing. It's just different words. And basically, the kids, there's more foreigns in schools and more foreigns in all the programs than there are locals, and it's not safe to walk down the streets. And that's not just Germany. That's going on all over in Europe. And the people are really getting fed up with it from the standpoint of, you know, they want to have meaningful, unarmed, you know, talks about it, but and they want to say that they, well, we're elected and we represent the will of the people. And anybody with an eye to see and an ear to hear goes, how's that work? I mean, all your people are standing up telling you, hey, we don't want this. And they're getting it shoved down the throat. So, yeah.
I like
one thing on that. I just go ahead, Tim. Or go ahead, Jason.
I was just going to say, one of the things that I read in that when they deployed the government out there, the army out there to remove these protesters, I like how they quoted it. It said, in a statement on Thursday, Irish Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan said that the blocking of critical national infrastructure will not be permitted. Well, I don't think they got a permit to do it.
No.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and they're like, well, we're not the enemies here, guys. It's like, well, really? Who is? You know, I mean, just say no.
Go ahead, Will. What were you going to say?
You're going to have to make me remember. I've not enough coffee yet.
Okay.
Well, actually, I had a couple things to say. Tim brought up Germany, and so up going toward Berlin in Germany, kind of the north eastern corner, I guess you would say. There's a state in Germany called Westphalia, and just as an interesting piece of information, 80% of all new births in the state of Westphalia are not Germans. They are foreign. They're babies being born to foreign-born parents. 80%.
Oh, gee whiz.
That is staggering when you stop and think about it. I mean, that's, 8 out of 10 babies being born in that part of Germany are not Germans.
I bet they're not white either.
That's something, but they are not. It's not like they're Austrians that are there on holiday. They're different shades of brown, I'm sure. On this Irish thing, you know, we've talked about it in previous shows. And if you really think about it, this is kind of like dominoes falling. Like, what else do you think? Where did you think we were going to go from here as far as the government of Ireland? Because 2 months, 3 months, 4 months ago, we were talking about, it seemed like every other Saturday, there was a group of Irishmen burning down another migrant hotel, begging the government to get these people out of their country. And when the government does nothing, the people will. And I think that's what you're seeing there, is they've redressed their grievances with the government time and time again. It's fallen on deaf ears, or as y'all were saying, the government's siding with the enemy, so to speak. And so it's left to the people to do something about it. And I think that's what you're seeing with this new Republican movement. And not to mention, I mean, just the history of Ireland. If you're going back to the times of the Troubles, as you know what they called it, and when the Civil War in Ireland was going on, not too long ago, you know, you're talking 35 years ago, it ended between the British government and Northern Ireland. These people aren't afraid to fight, and I think that's been shown. And they're not afraid to fight their own government. I mean, that's you know, we talk about the American Civil War, whatever, going back into the early 90s, the Northern Ireland, in Northern Ireland, they were actively at war against the British government, you know, killing British soldiers in the streets. And I'm afraid, or they may be slipping back into that, only this time it's going to be against the Irish government in Dublin. They're tired of it, and I think they're gunning up to make a stand. That's my opinion.
Well, the other thing that occurred to me in reading this was, and kind of goes back to what you were saying about them burning hotels down and the amount of resistance to these foreign illegals coming in. You would think that, they're like, well, they left their country because of they were, being put upon by their own country, but they don't leave here. I mean, they're like ticks in a hound here. You can't get rid of them. So that would make me think, if somebody was that aggressive toward wanting out of their country, don't you think they'd leave? Well, we don't want to be here. No, they're enemy combat. They're here for a reason. They're shock troops. They've been brought in to do that. This is not a case or a situation where you're dealing with families, units, and protection from political aggression or religious aggression. You are dealing with it, but not in the way you think. It's not a flight to safety thing. It's a invasion movement, and that's what I think you see that just from the results of what's going on.
They're under orders, and orders have to be obeyed.
Yeah,
they're gonna occupy.
Yeah, you stay there. So yeah, and I think that we've talked about it over and over and over again about the fact that these people that are coming in, they're military age. They're whether it's a terrorist group or whether it's illegal aliens, they're moving them all in. They make. In some cases, they're better armed than the citizens in some of these countries, in a lot of cases. So,
sure.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter whether it's Ireland or Minnesota or, whatever place they go, the scenario kind of plays out the same. So, and the question begs to be asked, why don't they go to Islamic places that aren't aggressive toward them, that are more laid back? No, they want to come here. That's another tactic, honey. So I think that you see that when you back up and look at a macro view, that's what you're seeing. It's not about refuge,
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, I think we've talked about that. We've been talking about that for years. It's an act of war.
Yes.
Yeah, and just, I mean, hope people wake up to that.
Well, I think the evidence that they're waking up is there, Jason. That's what we're talking about. I mean,
they're walking down the street.
Yeah, I know. The day the Saxon began to hate, I mean, the Wrath of the Waken. It's a good poem by Rudyard Kipling. I think that applies. Hopefully that fire just continues to burn. I mean, it's like we've heard all these stories about what's happened with these you know, these immigrants. I mean, you got 13-year-old girls wheeling hatchets, you know, fending off illegal immigrants. And I mean, you'd think that it's like, what has happened? How bad has their government gotten to allow these things to take place? I mean, it's just it's kind of mind-boggling.
How bad has manhood gotten?
Right.
To
exactly.
Allow these things to take place. You know what? And I think it's hand in hand with what you're saying, Jason. But I mean, you look at the systematic effort over the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 decades to demasculate the population, and that's how you end up with 13-year-old girls with butcher knives and hatchets, because there's no men to stand with them. Now, I will say, I mean, and we've talked about it here, it's impossible to find this in the news that is fed to us, but if you dig, you can find it. I know in London and Dublin and places like that, there are groups of men who, I mean, I guess you would consider it a neighborhood watch group or something like that, that are actively patrolling. I don't know if that's the right word to say it or not, but they're trying to create safe zones for their women and their kids because the cops won't. And so you have, I would call them back in the day, you know, we considered those people to be hooligans, you know, those guys that leave the pub and start patrolling the neighborhood looking for a fight. Today, I call them patriots. These are guys that are leaving the pubs and patrolling the neighborhood looking for a fight, but they're looking for a fight with these foreign invaders. And that is a real thing that's happening. But once again, it goes back to when the government doesn't fulfill their obligations as far as providing those basic services, man, it falls back to the people. And truthfully, I think all of us would agree, at least, that's probably where it needs to be, because it's going to be done more effectively that way.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, the favorite labeling over here for that seems to be vigilante. You know, there are a bunch of vigilantes.
Right.
I hear that all the time. Well, that just means to be vigilant. I mean, you know, and do something about what you see. So...
Well, and I think there's an underlying lesson that we need to learn too, and you know, and we need to. I mean, people need to be aware of this, but it's like you look at what they've done with the gun laws over there in Ireland. It is, I mean, it basically is. It's not a right. It's they call it a privilege, but you are. They say even in their own laws, you have to have a good reason to have a firearm, to get a license. The licenses are, I think they're generally good for 3 years, but a good reason is for hunting or shooting sports. But if you put down self-defense, you are automatically denied. You're not allowed to have a firearm for self-defense, and you're not allowed to say that. Everything's supposed to be locked up under lock and key. Handguns, they're permitted, but they're only allowed in 22 calibers. And pepper spray is outlawed. Stun guns are outlawed. I mean, you look at it, it's like, I mean, it's just crazy. You know, we don't have any idea. Well, I'm not going to say we have. I think we need to abolish the ATF, personally. But,
amen.
I get rid of them. Get rid of all. I mean, I think we have too many restrictions as it is here in the United States. But you look at these people over there. To me, it is just this is why people need to stay armed. So stuff like this doesn't come creeping in and doesn't happen.
Totally, absolutely. Yeah, that's the only reason it's not worse here yet is because they can't.
That's right.
Is because of an armed populace that, you know, it leaves them afraid. And yeah, well, and think about the fact when we were just talking about the discourse over there with the government and, hey, we just want to, you know, no, there's no teeth. There's no bite. You know, our forefathers knew that. They said, well, the reason for that is the fact that if they get too out of control, you may have to, and their words, not mine, take up arms and restructure some things. You know, I mean, a little bit of my words there too, but you know, that gives them people pause. It's like, wait a minute, let's don't push too many buttons here. So, yeah, things are a lot different here than they are over there where they, well, you're going to like it. What, you can't do anything about it anyway. But, like Will said already, with the IRA and different things like that, they have no problem with sourcing whatever they need to source weapons-wise to. They've got a lot of practice at it, and they have not forgotten. So we're seeing that there. They want to stand up and make some changes. And good for them. So, I mean, they're on my prayer. So.
Jason, what do you think would happen if they file for a permit over there, a firearms permit, and they said that the reason was for predator control of foreign-born invasive species?
I like it. But at the same time, I don't think that they'd give them a permit.
I don't either. Yeah. I think somebody would catch wise. I don't know. But, that's what it is.
But that's one of the reasons that you are allowed to have one is for predator control. But I think that they would view that a little bit different. I mean, how it's in their books that says you cannot obtain a firearm to protect yourself. I mean, just what kind of garbage is that? It's like who should not be able to protect themselves?
Yeah, no doubt. Well, and the underlying situation there is that they basically deny it. I mean, that's the, you know, denied unless proven otherwise. So who knows how many they deny for every one that they, you know, let have one. I mean, it's or approved, you know. So I can't find.
I would be interested. Yeah, I would be interested to know. I'll admit, you know, I know a good bit about foreign gun laws when it comes to like Canada and England and Australia, but I don't know about Ireland. So you're telling me things I don't know, Jason. But I would be interested in knowing exactly how many permits they actually issue. I can't imagine it's many. That's my opinion. I don't know.
From what it was basically the permits that were issued were you had to be part of a sporting club and involved in shooting sports. And I think from what I could gather, and I could be wrong on this, but from what I could gather, those were basically the only permits that were issued. Or if you were part of like a hunting group that had a plot of land and it was specifically for hunting, then you could get a permit. But it was on a very temporary basis. It's not like you can go buy a gun and then it's just good. It's you get a permit, you can have it for a certain period of time, and they come and they check on it to make sure that it's being stored properly. And I believe that they also limit the amount of ammunition that you can have also. So,
wow. Are you able to store it at your own place, or does it have to be stored at the club?
I don't know. I didn't see that part.
Well, and I know that part of their licensure or you know, restrictions and controls also include air guns and crossbows.
Oh my gosh! So, yeah. What about really sharp rocks? They license those.
Dang.
I think it shows an intent there, and a clear intent to deny what they even say it. I mean, basically what Jason said, you know, if you put down self-defense, you're denied. It shows a clear and present idealism there that you have no right to the preservation of your life through armed resistance. You know what I mean? In any situation. So,
Your life doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the government.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. There was a cartoon I saw one time, and I'll try to make this make sense, but it was about gun confiscation, and all the guns had been confiscated in the United States. There were no more guns, and we were supposedly living in this peaceful utopia where there was no violence, until one day someone took a 2x4 and drove a nail through it, and then Congress met to outlaw nails and 2x4s. And that's the point being is there's always going to be weapons. There's always going from the beginning of time, right? I mean, we know the story of Cain and Abel, and there's always going to be that. You can't regulate the morality of someone if they want to do harm to another. What you can do is, or what they do is they regulate the ability of an honest man to protect himself from that evildoer. And that in itself shows you just how evil those people in power are. Because at the end of the day, if you never really thought about it, what they're doing is legislatively, they are standing up for evil by preventing the honest man from protecting himself and his family. And so every time I hear anything about an infringement on the Second Amendment or gun control or whatever, which is a whole other thing that just happened in Virginia that we can talk about here in a minute, but all that is elected officials siding with evil and putting down the honest man who is trying to do good. And that's just always a reminder to me of, I had a guy tell me one time, and I hope I'm making sense in that battle, but I had a guy tell me one time, he said, you know, when it comes election time, he said, I'm a one issue voter. He said, you know, all these other, you know, the economy and taxes and foreign trade and abortion and all of this sort of stuff. He said, I'm a one issue voter. Show me where you stand on the Second Amendment, and I can almost promise you I'll tell you where you stand on everything else.
You know what? There's a lot of truth in that right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. And I've used that test over the years, and I'm telling you, it's about right. If you show me where you stand on the Second Amendment, and I can almost tell you where you stand on everything else.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're very symbiotic. Yeah.
I generally speaking, you know, you meet a guy that's running for an office or something, and he says something like, "Well, I think we should abolish the ATF." And I think it's a inalienable right from God. You know, generally speaking, I think that guy's going to be pretty conservative when it comes to your taxes. You know, I'm that's probably going to be a freedom loving guy right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and pretty much you can pretty much look at that. I mean, there's exceptions, but you can look at that and see someone who doesn't support, you know, if you support Second Amendment rights, you usually don't support pedophiles and the LGBTQ, whatever alphabet gang. You don't support.
Yeah, absolutely.
All those things are very, you know, symbiotic as far as, no, you can't support all that and have this too. So, yeah, it's a good point. So. I mean, it's significant.
Tim, I was gonna
go ahead, Will.
No, I was just going to say something. You mentioned vigilante justice earlier, and I was just going to make a smart aleck comment and say, you know, vigilante justice really has gotten a bad rap, you know, because I think back when that was prevalent in these mining towns and old west towns or whatever, justice was dealt swiftly, and generally speaking, they were pretty well ran. You know, the people didn't stand for a whole lot of nonsense. And you were talking about the LGB whatever stuff, and that made me think there was a time where that wasn't even in the lexicon of American culture, and that was kind of at the same time there was vigilante justice. You think there's a correlation there?
Yes, I do. I do. I can remember as a young man, there were some situations where there were guys that were white beaters or really abusive, and I can remember them coming out like on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning and looking like somebody put them through a meat grinder, and they didn't beat their wife anymore, or they didn't do, you know,
that's right.
And it was like somebody had a little conversation with them with a tire, you know, and it was like a little attitude adjustment, you know. It was, but those kinds of things, you know, that's, to me, that's a godly society. I mean, you don't need a 3-year legal battle in order to have someone else rule on it. That needs to be handled right now, you know. So there's some of that that goes on, and they really want to make out like it's so bad. And if you watch the ones that they always make it look bad, like on, oh, I don't know, television or movies or something, is usually those people are immoral, you know, evil people, and they're trying to protect them from vigilante justice. And it's like, well, who's protecting all the good people from these evil acts of these atrocities that they wreck on everyone? So, yeah. God has laws about that. If we fear God, we fear his laws. And yeah, that's the way that works. There's an amount of that. And yeah, that's the way it was, like you say, in history. So.
And Jason, I'm going way off base. I like to tell a story every once in a while. Are y'all familiar with what happened in Skidmore, Missouri, back in 1981? Did y'all ever hear the story of Ken McElroy?
Yes.
I remember the name.
Go ahead.
Ken McElroy. Skidmore, Missouri was just a little place. I mean, I can't tell you how big it was, but it wasn't a very large community. Oh, I think we got a call, Jason.
Yeah, we do. Well, let's go ahead and take the call real quick, and then we'll let you get back to your story. Hello, caller.
Hey, Jason. I just going to put a comment out there. You know, William Wallace didn't have a permit to carry. Talking about Ireland, you know.
That's right. Good point.
And you talk about, you know, the crossbows and arrows. When the Bible, it says that the arrows were artillery, you know. You know, like we got mortars and whatever nowadays, but 2,000 years ago, that they were our artillery, you know. I mean, if you had an arrow and shot it up there and hit somebody, you did something. And I think we need some more William Wallace's all over the world.
Amen.
You guys have a good day. I just want to turn that in.
Yeah,
there.
Thanks for sharing that, Warren. You have a good day, too.
Okay, God bless you.
Thanks. We'll go back to you, Will.
No, I looked it up because I couldn't remember. So Skidmore, Missouri, this is just talking about bullies, vigilante justice, and in my opinion, good Christian people doing what they should be doing. Skidmore, Missouri's town population, 245 people, just a farming community. There was a guy named Ken McElroy who was known as the town bully. And this guy over the years had been indicted 21 times. This is in a community of 245 people. He had been indicted 21 times for assault, child molestation, statutory rape, arson, animal cruelty, cattle rustling, burglary, all kinds of things, and never got convicted because of the fear of this community of a jury to convict him. Well, he got into a disagreement. There was one grocery store in this town, and he got in a disagreement with the guy who owned the grocery store. And the guy was an older guy. He was like 70 years old. And this Ken McElroy shot him with a shotgun while the guy sat on the back stoop of the grocery store smoking a cigarette. And he got convicted of that. He got convicted of shooting this guy and got out of jail. I mean, he served a very short sentence for shooting this guy and got out of jail and came back to this town. And after he got out of jail, he started carrying around an M1 Garand while he was in the town. And he was sitting at a local tavern, a bar, with this M1 Garand inside the bar. And he was making it known to everybody that he was going to kill this grocer for testifying against him. Well, the next week he comes to town, and as he's getting out of his pickup truck, a group of men from this town surround him. And the next thing you know, Ken McElroy is dead inside his truck, shot to death. And the state authorities come in, the county sheriff comes in or whatever. And guys, there wasn't a single witness that who shot Ken McElroy that day. And
I think from what I remember reading was, wasn't there like 50 people that were involved in the shooting too? Didn't they?
Absolutely. And they went and shot their guns.
Yeah.
Everybody went and fired their guns so that nobody could say this gun was fired and that one wasn't. So the town just got together and they had an early 4th of July, because I think it was in the end of June when this happened. And they all went out and just fired their guns because they knew they were going to come and start looking at who had fired guns that day. So all the men of the town, including some of the ladies, they just went and shot their guns. And to this day, nobody knows who killed Ken McElroy. But the fact of the matter is, that was the day that the town bully ceased to exist. And it became a peaceful little community again. And that wasn't that long ago, guys. That was 1981. And we still had things like that going on. And the state prosecutor ended up washing his hands of it and saying, you know, we'll never get to the bottom of this. And that's exactly how the people of Skidmore want it.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's a few more stories like that historically, you know, that have gone on.
That's exactly, yes, sir.
Yeah. So.
Yes, sir. Not really world news, but a story that.
No, I like
it. Well, it demonstrates the point we're talking about for sure. No more problems. So.
Yeah. That's the kind of spirit that, you know, I don't know what you guys would care. I characterize that as an American. That is a patriotic spirit.
I think that's a biblical spirit. I think that's loving your neighbors yourself.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, and that's what being a patriot should be. Is it should be, you know, founded on biblical principles, you know, and we're talking about different kinds of justice. And, you know, I don't care what you can call it, vigilante justice. You can call it whatever kind of justice you want. As long as it's justice, justice is just. Justice is right. You can put any word before it, whatever you want, whatever floats your boat, so to speak. But justice is right. And that's what we need to, you know, have that in our land. That needs to be, it needs to be, you know, part of who we are.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, God talks about the fact that, you know, when justice at the judges is not just, you know, or not godly. And he says, he raised up judges to deliver them out of the hands of those that spoiled them. So if that in Judges 2:16, I think it is, he says that. So if they're not doing their job and you're being spoiled, and, you know, spoiled a whole bunch of things, it's like, okay, got all this rot in your society and they won't cut it out, or they won't judge it under God's way, then of what use are they? You know, it says that whenever that tree doesn't bear fruit, it gets cast on the fire. So it's like, okay, yeah, there are those. So the real question to me is who is the the godly and just judge. Those people in Skidmore, Oklahoma, who took care of that, or the judge who slapped him on the wrist and let him out. You know, I mean, it's like,
But something that just jumped in my mind, Tim, while you were quoting that passage out of Judges is, my goodness, that's why the Talmudists twisted our laws to make sure that judges are appointed for life and they can't be found for wrongdoing from the bench.
Right. Yeah.
Because there was a time that wouldn't have been stood for, but now it's, you know, judges, there's no action to be taken. You know, to me, I don't know how it is in Nebraska or Colorado. In Texas, if you feel like a judge has erred, you can't sue a judge, a magistrate, in the state of Texas. It's not possible. At the most, you can do is make a complaint to the state, and then another group of judges meet to decide if this judge did wrong. But there's no, it's only civil penalties. You know, you can't sue them for damages. They don't go to jail. They may just get reprimanded. And that's it.
Really?
And that really, yeah, absolutely. And that to me, on its face, how can you really have a fair, just system when there is no checks and balances when it comes to these magistrates?
You don't have any recourse. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Yep. It sets them up as demigods that they do whatever they want. And, you know, if you have a problem with it, your best option is maybe to go before another judge. They tend not to go against one another because they play golf at the same golf courses and drink at the same country clubs.
Yep. Cash your checks at the same bank. Yeah, it goes back to that. Anytime you hear the word peer-reviewed, you know, the hair on the back of your neck stand up. I don't care whether it's in the Justice Department, in science. I mean, you know, a peer-reviewed panel is not legit. I mean, that's we're all in the same group. We're all in the same club. We're all going to support each other because next week it'll be me that needs to be reviewed. So, you know, I don't want to hold myself to – I'm not going to hold them to a standard that I don't want to be held to. So, yeah.
Yep.
And that's going on all the time.
Well, moving on, guys. Let's go over to I don't know. There was a lot of squabble about ceasefire over there with Iran, but it didn't sound like it was much of a ceasefire. And then what's going on with that?
I don't think Israel got the invitation for the ceasefire. No one told them, I guess. I don't know. I know at the – go ahead, Tim.
Well, it's like the second or third time now they violated the ceasefire. I mean, there's a ceasefire going place. They're the first ones the next morning to violate it, right? So, yeah. That's all.
255 missiles in the first 10 minutes of the ceasefire the next morning. That's what Israel did to Lebanon. 255 missiles in the first 10 minutes.
Wow.
Jeez.
They're in Lebanon. And I'm not so sure, you know, not that I would know. They didn't email me the text of the ceasefire, but my understanding is, and I'm, this is almost going to sound like something out of the Three Stooges or something, but my understanding is the United States says this is a ceasefire with Iran and Lebanon and between the United States and Israel being brokered by Pakistan. But the ceasefire also includes Qatar, the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan, other places. Iran says this is a ceasefire between the United States and Iran, but they're not agreeing to have a ceasefire with Israel. But they want the United States to include Lebanon. Israel, I'm not really sure they've agreed to anything. So I don't, Jason, I'm not sure this is really a ceasefire. The other side of this is this was supposed to open up the Strait of Hormuz, and maybe y'all have heard better than me. I think there's only been, since this started, maybe a dozen ships that have gone through.
Yeah.
And it's whoever Iran is allowing to go through, and they're keeping other ships out. And I don't know if y'all have heard this, but have y'all heard about Iran charging a tax on ships that are coming through at the tune of $2 million per freighter?
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, and if you looking at the traffic that potentially goes through there, they stand to pocket about $500 billion a year, $450 to $500 billion a year. Well, that was more than their military budget in 2025. So it sure seems like if this is a part of the ceasefire and this truce, man, it seems like we're sure making it easy for them to spool back up again in a year or two. I don't know. It's crazy. I know J.D. Vance is supposed to be going over there, and they're going to try to work something out, but it just doesn't feel it doesn't feel like this is really getting settled to me. What do y'all think?
Yeah, I agree. I saw one of the headlines that I seen this morning was, "Sorry, Lebanon, no ceasefire for you. Israel bombs the hell out of Beirut, destroys apartments and residential areas." And then you look into it, and that's exactly where they hit. It was apartment building and residential areas. So, I mean, what do you expect from a bunch of Jews? But
yeah, they never say one thing and do something else, do they? I mean, hello. Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's kind of it's just sad. I mean, when you look at it, you have to wonder the whole thing. And and I think this kind of dovetails in. Now they're working on this whole, selective service thing over here, which tells me somebody's talking about that. I mean, they just came out with, I'm trying to locate it here, but somebody just came out with, they want to update the, selective service thing, and they're going back through all the records, and they're going to jump back into that. And to me, it's like, is this a harbinger of things to come? You know, we can't get these guys to fight. We're going to have to bring in some new recruits. And I don't remember. They were talking like, what was it, 18 to 24? Does that sound right? Or 18 to 25 year old?
18 to 25. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but when you see all this, you know, this ties into that. I mean, I want to recollect or recall into people's memory the fact that this was supposed to be, oh, we'll be out of here in a week, it's just, don't forget these words. I mean, that was actually said, and then it was 2 weeks, and then and now it's like, oh, we don't really know. So, this is a major can of worms. So,
Tim, were you able to determine what Tim's talking about is the selective service registration, and it's been, I guess you would say, the policy or law. I guess the federal government would say the law, going back to, I think, the 1950s or 60s. I don't remember when that came in, but if you're a male on your 18th birthday, they wanted you to go down to the post office and fill out a selective service card, and it gets mailed into the federal government, and that's where the draft came from. That's how so many boys got drafted, and they put a bunch of penalties on it if you don't fill out the selective service card, that you could be fined and even in prison. I mean, I think they would even put you in prison maybe if you didn't do that. Of course, lots of folks haven't done that, but it was all kind of a voluntary thing. You went and did it. They wanted you to go do it. Well, starting in December, I think it's this year, right, Tim? December of this year? Starting December of this year, it's going to be done automatically. So it takes the young man no longer fills out the card and sends it in. The federal government just has your data, and they're going to enter you into the draft. Aren't they nice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wonderful. So,
Where are they getting that data from, Tim? Do you know? Is it your Social Security card? Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, Social Security records, and also I think it was banking records and stuff. But yeah, they're basically, and this plays back into the whole AI thing again, you know. But yeah, they're in love with their data situation, so they no longer need your consent to track or sign you up or anything or anything else. They'll just do it. They'll do it without your consent. And yeah, for a long time, I've maintained the fact that your right to privacy, I mean, is, I know that the Second Amendment is key to all the others, but the right to your privacy is the right to be who you are. That makes you a person, an individual, responsible to God. And these kind of moves simply take that away from them. You know, they want to make it, well, we don't need your permission. We'll just have, we can sign you up. We can take care of that. We'll notify you. And, you know, you're back to that power of no again. They want to deny you. If you don't have the ability to tell them no, then you have no individuality. You have no power over yourself any longer. And that's what they want to take away. You know, I was thinking about it this morning, and you look at the cattle, you know, the ranchers, and, you know, they go in and prepare cows for AI, and they, you know, they feed them and they vaccinate them and they run them. It's the same thing here. They don't want to ask you. They just want to run you through the chute. You know, anyway they choose to put you is, you're just a herd animal. And, that's some more what this is like. No. So, traditionally, under a Republican form of government, a Christian republic, every single person had the right over their own bodies to say no without debilitating recourse. I mean, it was like, I choose not to, I vote with my yes or my yay or nay not to participate in that. So, you know, you go back to Continental Congress and things in 1776 when they started. You know why those men stayed at Valley Forge while their feet bled and everything else? Because they wanted to be there. That was why. They were committed unto the point of death. It wasn't because they were conscripted. They weren't. Their families provided their munitions and arms and uniforms and everything else because and that was why they were undefeated. I mean, besides the fact and primarily that God was with them, but God was with them because they wanted to be there under God's way of doing things, and they were committed to it. And they've been seeking to take that away from everyone. So,
yeah, good point. Well, we've got about 5 minutes before we take a break. While we're on world news, let's jump over to Russia. I seen that Putin announced an Easter ceasefire. Wow. What do you know about that?
I really want to talk about this and compare it to what happened with Israel and all of that. So the majority of Russia is they're the Orthodox Church, and so they have a different calendar than a lot of folks. And what they consider to be their Orthodox Easter is actually tomorrow. It's coming up starting today and going into tomorrow. And so Vladimir Putin, has reached out to the Ukraine, and we'll see what happens there, but he has ordered all of the Russian military to have a ceasefire and to reflect on the resurrection of Jesus Christ and to take a day of being non-combatants against their enemy in the Ukraine, and he's urged the Ukraine to do the same. because there's a lot of Orthodox Christians in Ukraine. Not as many as there was when the war began, because Zelensky, the Jew, has been bombing their churches to smithereens. But regardless, this is what he did. Now, I'll catch some flack on this, and Jason, I'm sorry if you start getting the phone calls, but in my opinion, this is what a world leader should do. Putin is a professing Christian, albeit an Orthodox Christian, but he's a professing Christian, and he has asked for no bloodshed, and for both sides to take the opportunity to recognize the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Well, let's go back a week into what the world calls an Easter, and that didn't happen. You didn't see the United States as a world leader ask for that same kind of ceasefire. What you saw, though, was on what the world calls Easter, on Easter morning, Israel let loose on a coastal part of Lebanon that is known to be predominantly Orthodox Christian.
Yep.
And they shot somewhere in the neighborhood over a 12-hour period. I think it was 500, 600, 700 missiles, whatever it was. And I think the total was, I'm doing this off memory, but I think it was about 250 people were killed, and they were Christians. In this coastal community, that's how Israel viewed Easter in this Christian area. And to me, that's really just a comparison of what's going on in two different regions. And I really want to say this. I'm not taking up for either side on any of this. I'm really not. I'm just pointing out that it's nice to see, in the time of war, a world leader asking for both sides to pause to honor Christ through all this. And that certainly didn't happen with Israel and Lebanon last Sunday. I don't know. Maybe I'm off base on that, guys. What do y'all think?
No, I don't think so. And do you have the quote? What did Trump come out and say on Easter morning? I mean, it was quite different than.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It was quite different.
I'm not sure I can quote that. Yeah, that's.
Yeah. We're gonna bomb the blankety blank out of you crazy bastards.
Yep.
or and you're gonna be living in hell and what? Praise Allah.
Praise Allah.
Little different.
Yeah.
Little different.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a break, guys. We'll be back here in just a minute. Folks, stay tuned. Call-in number is 970-224-4203. I'd like to hear from you if you're out there listening. We'll be right back here in just a few minutes.
In God we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed with inalienable rights of life and precious liberty, the pursuit of happiness. On these we now take aim and set our sights. Like sleeping watchmen on the wall, we have failed to heed the signs of usurping foreign powers within our land, letting fraud, deceit, and usury be the curse of these hard times. Now won't you heed this wake-up call and lend a hand and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. In the spirit of our ancestors who refused to live in chains, we now must cast our eyes on liberty's light. For the blood spilled by our forefathers still flows within our veins, and we shall not live as slaves without a fight. Like soldiers we must stand and face this enemy within, and do what we must do to seize the time. For in order to defend and exercise our liberties, we now must place our liberty on the line and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. Be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution.
Rout all those traitors right out of our system.
Second American Revolution today.
And we're back, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. This morning, April 11th, 2026, phone number to call in is 970-224-4203. Where do you want to go next, guys?
Well, we could... swing back over here a little closer to home, huh?
It's about that time. let's talk about Planned Parenthood, who's been in the news this week. Killed a record of 434,450 babies in 2025.
Thing that stands out on this is, it's a negative opinion, but I'll tell you, I feel just to me, it's more evidence of being lied to, because I'm fairly confident that within the first couple of months of Trump taking office this time, we were told Planned Parenthood has been defunded and they will no longer be performing abortions. Do y'all remember that?
Yeah, I do.
I do. And it's actually 8% more of them killed this year than last year. Yeah,
wow. That's exactly right, Tim. So that to me, I'll take a real dark approach to it, but the sacrifices to Moloch will continue. Not only will they continue, they will increase. That is what I think this is. I think it's lip service at best, and maybe good intentions, but the people who are actually pulling the levers and strings, they're going to make sure that this stuff continues. Not to mention, if you guys remember, I think we were also told by Supreme Court that Roe versus Wade is no more. That was over and done with. And here we are with record numbers of... I also caught something that 80%, was it 80? No, that's not right. It was a very high percentage, maybe 70-something percent of the services provided by Planned Parenthood are actually abortions. So they really do just exist to provide abortions.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that one of the significant things that they do, too, is we were told, in 2025 that tax dollars were being taken away from it, but they haven't been. They just received $832 million in U.S. funds. That's a 5% increase from the prior year, and that is also basically a record amount of funding for them. So it's gone up. I mean, situation normal, and the process continues. And
yep.
Yeah, I think that's another way of they make you pay for it in situ, which you know, ties that blood to everyone's hands. I mean, if you're participating in that, you are, it's a blood guiltiness thing. I mean, and it's like, wow, that's just, it's a travesty.
It makes, you know, what Gordon Call said, that he wasn't going to participate in the tithe collectors of the Synagogue of Satan, seem more appropriate, huh?
Yeah. There's.
So I think you're right. I think it's a way, underhandedly or under the table or whatever, of tying those people that are paying those taxes to the curse. I think that's what they're trying to do, is put that blood libel and curse on people unwittingly.
Yeah. Well, and I think Pastor Peters, he did some talks or sermons about the fact that we need to pray for forgiveness for being deceived. And I think this is one of those deceptions that isn't, a lot of people don't go there. They don't think that. Even people who are repulsed and, you know, just mortified over the fact that this goes on, it's like, but you're still doing it. You know, I mean, you're in some way, you're enabling that. And it's not that, and I think that's a deception that, you know, that goes on all over the place. So that may get you some phone calls.
I'm going to put you on the spot, Tim, because this is something in I've never had the conversation with you about, and I have my own opinion, but I'm going to ask you for your opinion. You know, there are those Christians, you know, albeit probably Judeo-Christians or mainstream Christians out there, that when the subject that we're talking about as far as paying taxes and, you know, not really being in control with how taxes are paid, that they may be morally opposed to, you know, funding abortions or war or welfare or whatever the case may be, but they're quick to point out, you know, well, Jesus told us in Romans that we're to render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's. What's your opinion on that, of what Jesus was actually teaching in that moment, Tim?
Well, that's a kind of a big can of worms, but try to summarize. Yeah, that's okay. What is Caesar's? I mean, according to my Bible, Jesus owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine, and he created everything that is.
Right.
So that's God's own, God's thing. So I think our Lord and Savior was pretty good at answering questions in a way that left people, you know, he told the truth, but he also was, you have to remember who he was talking to, serpents and harmless as doves. And I think that when you look at that way, I mean, look back to our country. We believe that our country was created by our Heavenly Father, that we were, you know, brought out that way. And in that situation, those men, they shed blood. They died over what was Caesar's and what wasn't Caesar's. And trust me, the hierarchy of monarchy was in existence at that time, too. And, you know, they were like, no, God says that no Christian man has to put up with this or deal with these things. And under Christ, we have liberty. And we had pastors that fought against it and everything else. So I don't think, I think when you look at that, that's the situation there. You know, just a kind of, like I say, I'm hitting on it light, but that's kind of where we're at.
Well, I think that I think we got a good book that kind of goes into that. It was a book that Pastor Peters wrote in the 80s entitled Authority, Resistance, or Obedience. And I think it's one that and I'm just going to tell people, if you like that book, it's a booklet. I think normally we have it for I think it's a $5, $6 book. But if anybody would like that, just write to me. Or shoot me an email. Make sure you get your address, and we'll send that book out to you free of charge. I got a little promo I want to play for it, and we'll just take a break.
Romans 13 can be hard for Christians to understand. What should be our relationship with the government? When do authorities step outside their lawfully appointed powers? Where should Christians draw the line? In Authority, Resistance, or Obedience, Pastor Peter J. Peters answers questions like these. Authority, Resistance, or Obedience also explains the difference between a godly government that Christians should obey and an ungodly one that should be resisted. To order Authority, Resistance, or Obedience, send $4 to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado 80535, or go to scripturesforamerica.org.
You've always been told to obey the government and to not resist authority, but it's getting harder and harder to reconcile new laws with your stance as a Christian. The Authority Package contains the booklet, Authority Resistance or Obedience. The Authority Package also includes 6 sermons that explain a proper view of government and its rightful powers and limits. To order the Authority Package, send $40 for DVDs, $20 for CDs, or $50 for both to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado 80535, or go to scripturesforamerica.org.
Well, there you have it. It was Authority, Resistance, or Obedience. I think that it's a fantastic book, touches on the subject, and if you'd like it, it said on there was $4, but we'll just offer that free of charge. If you write to us within the next week, we'll send it to you free of charge.
It's excellent.
Cool.
Yeah. It goes in a lot more detail.
Yeah. That's a good booklet to pass around to.
It is. And I had the same question asked me last week and said something about, you know, government and this and that. And it was somebody had brought up, and I mean, it was one of those things. It's like, I don't spend much time in very many other churches other than our church, but I guess they still do teach that on a pretty regular basis, that, you know, obeying the authorities. It's like, you know, just to summarize it in there, you know, Pastor Peters goes, he talks about being subject to a godly government versus an ungodly government. And I think that it'd be an eye opener for a lot of people if they just take the time to read it.
Amen. I want to tell people this isn't a setup, but I had the exact same question asking me this week.
Really?
About Romans 13. Absolutely. I had someone ask me about Romans 13, and there was an Easter message preached at their church about Romans 13 on what the world calls Easter Sunday. This particular pastor chose to speak about obeying the government
on Easter Sunday. Wow. That's
on Easter Sunday. Yep.
It sounds like he must be a bail free.
they wanted to know my opinion on it when it came to that subject, and I just found it interesting that that's why I was putting you on the spot, Tim. That's not something I'd really talk about with you guys as far as Romans 13 are concerned. But anyways. That was an interesting thing that we just tied together up there on the fly.
Interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I got something I'm going to continue with the theme of being unscripted today. We've jumped around from Ireland to Iran to Skidmore, Missouri. I'm going to go to Bunkerville, Nevada. Because here we are talking about Romans 13 and unjust governments and resistance, and tomorrow is the 14th anniversary of the what they call the Battle of Bunkerville, and that is, I know it clearly stands out in my mind, maybe not to the level of Gordon Call or what happened up with Randy Weaver, but this is the Bundy family there when the BLM came in and seized all of their cattle. And tomorrow is the 14th anniversary of when, if you guys remember, the cowboys on horseback and the hundreds and hundreds of people showed up and they cut those locks and let those cattle go in resistance to the federal government. And it seems like that happened yesterday, but it's been 12 years now.
Yep, yep. Wow. That's what I was thinking. It was 12 years. I was trying to figure out, okay.
Yeah. 2014,
March 27th. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you look at that, that's another one of those things. And all authority is not, I mean, our Bible says to pray for those in authority over you, but not everyone who says they're in authority over you is. You know, I mean, yeah, I'm always kind of astounded at people's, what do you want to call it, lack of critical thinking in those regards. It's like, well, just because somebody says they have authority over you, does that mean they have authority over you? I mean, who gave that? I didn't give you. It says that the right to rule over you is given by the consent of those of the people. Well, if you don't consent, do they rule over you? I mean, it's back to that deception thing again. It's like if you let that stand and you do not, you don't dispute it, then I guess they do. But if you, it's kind of like your rights as far as, like, say, Fifth Amendment rights. If you don't shut up and exercise that right, if you don't, then you don't have it. You know what I mean? So you have to claim it and act on it. And it's the same way with a lot of those situations. So, and of course, they've made an enigma out of that through things like, what do you want to call it? Sovereign citizens and things like that. And, that's not where I'm going with this. I'm going with the fact that, and Jason has said it over and over again, when I was, I'm a born again, believe, baptized individual. And, when you, I am under a different jurisdiction. I claim that jurisdiction. That's the jurisdiction of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. So.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting talking about home things. I switch gears just a little bit, but U.S. and Mexico have just come up with an agreement to deploy anti-drone laser systems at the border. Did you guys hear about that?
I did hear about that, yeah.
Okay. I also thought, and I don't know whether this ties in or not because I haven't been able to do enough looking into it, but it's interesting that China just launched two different laser counter drone systems for overseas sales.
Huh. So is that where we're getting?
That's exactly what I jumped to. I was like, yeah, because that's worked out so well for us in the past, right? So, but it does make one wonder. Does are these two related? Inquiring minds want to know. You know. So, but anyways, they're going to let their drones in and nobody else's drones in. But it is interesting that, I mean, it was just, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about drones being taken down there on the border with laser systems, and I think it was Will who said, yep. I didn't even know we had laser systems that would knock drones out of the air.
I know, isn't that
which
crazy?
I didn't either.
I didn't either.
Yeah. So, here we go. But I think that's it.
The other side of that is, did you see the number of drones that they're now saying on a monthly basis comes in from the cartels into U.S. airspace?
Yeah, a bunch.
What was it? Hundreds of drones, I think, is what they say, a month?
Actually, the one I read said roughly 1,000 drone incursions take place across the Mexican border each month. Yeah. That's a quote from the FAA.
Jeez.
Or the Pentagon. Sorry. Yeah. So
that's a lot.
Yeah. Evidently, Amazon's not the only one delivering things with drones. So, yeah. Well, and we're seeing the problem is if when they bring this stuff in, and I think this is another issue that goes back to AI and a lot of these other things that, you know, they minimal cost, minimal exposure, probability of success is fairly high for whatever they're doing with that stuff. So it's a win-win for them, but it's still a problem for us as far as that stuff comes. But it's a tactical decision. And if they can deliver drugs and stuff across the line with those, that's not all they can deliver. I mean, you know, so.
Right.
There's a lot of talk about that. And I think a lot of this refinement started over there in the Ukraine and in that situation. Drones, we were talking about that. And China seems to be.
Well, we talked about it.
Go ahead.
So. No, we talked about it on the show, Tim, if you remember, that members of the cartel were in the Ukraine learning how to fly these drones, these weaponized drones, training, yeah. And here it is now, you know, that it's made its way back home.
They're home, yeah. So here we go. And, yeah. The good news.
And who owns the drone manufacturing facilities?
I know. Go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. You say. I mean, go right ahead. You got it.
Well, the majority of drone technology is coming out of Israel and China. I mean, that's that. I don't know, Jason, if you were going to say anything else, but that's what I know. Is the majority of that stuff? A lot of the guidance systems are being refined in places like Israel, and they're being assembled in China.
Yeah.
Yep. That's about what I was going to say. So,
yeah.
And tested all over the world. So, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live training going on. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of this stuff. And as AI comes into that, the other thing that should leave us aware, at the very least, is the fact that they're working on making this stuff autonomous. You know, they're going to give it a target and
yep.
let it go do whatever it has to get there through AI business. And I am really, it just leaves me cold when I, you know, they talk about this fact that AI is, oh, well, we've got to win this AI battle with China, you know, or we're going to have problems. It's like, how is buying Chinese laser tech that uses AI, because that's what that Chinese laser counter drone technology is using, and everything else. How is funding them through this stuff going to help us win the battle? And I think the name of the company that's making this laser tech is Skyon or something like that. So, you know, I don't know if that's part of Skynet or not, but, you know, the names are interesting, though, aren't they? I mean, I think so. But yeah, we're funding them, and at the same time, they're building stuff that's used against us. I mean, what a racket! They build the drones, and then they build the counter drone systems. Hey, guys, we're making it off both ends. No big deal, you know. So,
almost sounds like the pharmaceutical system and the food system, yeah. That they bioengineer food that makes you sick, and then they prescribe the medication that treats your symptoms and the food that makes you sick. Sure seems like the same MO.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, and one of the headlines that I was going to read is, this just came out last month, but Trump's sons add another drone manufacturing merger to their investment portfolio. Drone maker Powerus and golf course company Arias Greenway Holdings aim to close the deal by summer. Another one was interesting to me is a company backed by Trump's sons look to sell drone interceptors to Gulf states being attacked by Iran. And I'm just going to read just a little bit of this. And I'm not saying that I agree with everything that they say in this article. I just want to put it out there for your perspective. But New York Associated Press, a drone maker backed by President Donald Trump's two oldest sons, is trying to sell Gulf countries while they are under attack by Iran and dependent on the U.S. military led by their father. The sales driven by Florida-based Powerus, which announced a deal last month to bring aboard Eric Trump and Donald Trump Jr.'s position, the company to potentially benefit from the war that their father began. These countries are under enormous pressure to buy from the sons of the president, so he will do what they want, said Richard Painter, a former chief White House ethics lawyer under President George W. Bush. This is going to be the first family of presidents to make a lot of money off of war, which I don't agree with that. But, yeah, it just kind of interesting. They're selling the drones, but they're also selling the anti-drone stuff.
Well, what a racket.
What a racket. Yeah. Brings us back to war is a racket, that's for sure.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, it's all about the money. I mean, so... I think that there's a lot of interest. I still think that we're dealing. I mean, what's going on over there? Well, what's the big deal with Iran? Why we need to be over there? If it's about the oil, we have less of it now than we did have. I mean, if it's about the people. Well,
I don't think we got any oil from them. That's the thing. And it's like, why, if we're not getting any oil from them, why is it making the fuel prices go up?
Oil prices go up. Yeah, no doubt. There's a whole bunch of questions with just question marks after them, no answers. So, it's one of those things that, I think it kind of goes back and ties into maybe, I still think it ties back into the banking and the BRICS and the Epstein files and things like that myself.
100%.
This is a, what do you want to call it? A blind that is leaving people, it leaves people, you know, looking somewhere besides where they need to look or
right.
Paying attention to things that should not be, you know, it's a nothing burger, except it's not, but you know what I'm saying? It's a world stage redirect. And time, treasure, and money.
It's the magician trick, Tim. You know, watch my right hand so you don't see what the left is doing.
Right.
Yeah, boy, they sure got the Epstein file deal was shut down, didn't they? I mean, in pretty short order, really. I mean, that was the talk of the town, so to speak. And you don't hear much about it anymore.
Yeah, and that kind of seems like a bipartisan effort almost.
Right.
Yeah.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah, they can't agree on anything except that.
You know, guys, I think that's the reason why Pam Bondi was fired. And not for the reason that, you know, that there was mishandling or anything like that. I think the reason why Trump let her go as attorney general is because she was subpoenaed to come testify before Congress. And as the attorney general, she could have been compelled to give testimony. Well, now she's a citizen, not the sitting attorney general. And even if she is compelled to appear before the committees there in Congress, she can plead the fifth. She doesn't have to testify anymore because she's no longer a cabinet member. I think that was done on purpose. I think it was because I really do. I believe it was done on purpose. I think that the guys that truly run this nation had a closed door with her and said, hey, you got to go, but it's we're going to take care of you. Don't worry about it. This is just to keep you from being compelled to testify on the handling of these Epstein files of what you saw and didn't see. And that's, I really believe that's what's happening there. I don't know if you guys caught it. In addition to that, going along those same lines of talking about protecting, Bondi and keeping her, giving her the ability to remain silent when it comes to these Epstein files. Did you guys catch the report that Trump has offered to pardon all members of his staff before he leaves office? That
it's coming down the wire. It's actually being reported by the Wall Street Journal that in a recent meeting, the president promised pardons to his words, everyone within 200 feet of the Oval Office.
Yeah.
Gee,
yeah,
that sounds like a Biden move, don't it?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. So
this whistleblower
mass pardon. Yeah.
Right. This whistleblower is coming out and saying that the quote was, Trump said, I'll pardon everyone who has come within 200 feet of the Oval Office. I'm reading through it right now. But, yeah, that is and they're saying this could be up to 1,600 people that Trump they may be working on those pardons right now.
Dang.
Well, that's wild. Yeah.
Well, let's go to the phone lines real quick. We got a caller on the line. Hello, okay. Caller.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin,
how are you?
Hey. Oh, fairly good. Weather's coming out good. Warming up, and that's all good. There's a few things I'd like to bring up. This thing about Trump attacking reporters, like Alex Jones, I think he stooped to a new low, and the things you're talking about this morning are same. That just got to stop. Are you reading reports about Israel running out of water, and they're buying land in Argentina, and they've formed a company, the Mercat Company. And they're just going in and stealing all the water rights, like something like 80% of the water rights there. People are protesting, and they have no one to listen to them. Are you following things on that?
This is it. You're talking about the water rights there in Argentina, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have heard about that.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Ken.
Oh, go ahead. The people are just being overridden. At the same time, they're doing all kinds of mining in that country, and that's taking up all their a lot of their water. And Israel they're saying that Israel is doing this so they can support their war machine, and. I think that's more like a true whatever they are, bastards that they are. Did you read that the first warships have crossed the Strait of Hormuz this morning?
I have not seen that.
Yeah, that's through Hal Turner. Uh-huh. Those are the main things. And this thing about the draft, and they raised the age limit to 42 years old for men.
I didn't know that. Interesting.
I did see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Matter of fact, I just got a text here a little bit ago saying that.
Oh, yeah. Other people are looking at it, too.
Yeah.
And it really appears that there's no sincerity with these talks with Iran. The four top people...
Kevin, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think, have you thought about this? Do you think that these talks... you know, with the promise of J.D. Vance going to Pakistan and all of this sort of stuff, have you got the feeling that maybe this is just a time for rearmament?
Yeah, I do. Yes, I do. There's an example there. Since this has started, we've used something like 375 Tomahawk missiles it will take 53 months to replace those.
Yep.
53 months. And the four top people for the delegation all have doctorate degrees. The Speaker of the Parliament, the Foreign Minister, Minister of Defense, Central Banking Governor, and on our side, we have J.D. Vance with a law degree, Witkoff with a law degree from Hofstra University, and this damn Jared, whatever you want to call him, has a law degree from New York University. So are they sincere or not? I just don't see anything like that in what they're, who's supposedly talking for. And Iran's invited China and Russia to witness what's going on. So I don't see any true sincerity at all. Go ahead.
No, I'll throw this out at you just to bolster up your point there, Kevin, especially since you invoked China. Of all countries, there's some intelligence that's coming out of Australia right now that is saying that China have sent hundreds of ground-fired missiles. It's actually MANPAD, if people know what those are. Those are shoulder-fired missiles that intercept aircraft, your airplanes, your helicopters, and that sort of thing, that China has shipped hundreds of those to Iran earlier this week after the ceasefire. So China is, according to this intelligence at least, they're arming up Iran during this brief pause to be able to intercept more of the United States and, I guess, Israel's aircraft. In addition to that, Australia is also saying that China has sent loads, I don't know what quantity, of different components like fuel and different components used to make munitions. So China, I think, is actively involved in this, I guess is the right way of saying it. So I don't see, I mean, I know your point, Kevin, as far as these guys. The fact of the matter is, if you look at people like Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff, these people that are serving, well, not necessarily Jared Kushner, because he doesn't have an appointed position. He's just the son-in-law of Donald Trump. But if you look at Witkoff and you look at Jared Kushner and you look at people like that, these are also people, lawyers, that have interest in private companies. And these private companies that are not based in the United States, they may have offices in the United States, but I know Jared Kushner is very involved with firms out of Israel that actively do business internationally in places like China. It's kind of what Jim was talking about earlier. They're profiting from both sides. That, if you sell the matches and the fire extinguishers, you're pretty much covered from the beginning to the end. And I think that's what these folks are doing. I think they are acting as legal representatives to private entities that are profiting off of the very public war that the United States is waging. That's my thought.
Yeah,
that new Gaza plan for the futuristic city.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Well, what about Lebanon, Kevin? I mean, Israel has openly announced yesterday that southern Lebanon now belongs to them.
Yeah, yeah. And Iran's saying it was part of the deal. And they're saying it was a part of the deal, right? And this thing about water in the Middle East, they're practicing water apartheid
The Gaza Strip, water is more precious than anything else in several of these Middle Eastern countries. And sure, they're just bona fide thieves. And well, maybe that's the condition of the world this morning. And I just don't see how anything really, truly good will come about this country because of that. Do you have any comment about the Trump attacking reporters like Alex Jones, who's been committed to him all along, and is cutting down? They call him fools and talking about him being a loser for Sandy Hook and that sort of thing.
Yeah, with low IQs and I was looking at that, and he's basically really come out and attacked some of our conservative leaders or figures like Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly, Candace Owens, and Alex Jones, and they have broke ranks over this Iran conflict, which I guess, you know, and yeah, low IQs, stupid people, their families know it, nut jobs, troublemakers, accusing them of for cheap, you know, cheap publicity tricks. And I, you know, differences of opinion or differences of political viewpoints are one of those things when you air that out, it's got to be done. And I think ad hominem attacks are not good. And like you said, they've supported him in many, many ways. So there's also one of the things, I think it was Tucker Carlson said, and Alex Jones said it too, is that the Israelis are blackmailing. Now, I'm not sure what they're using the blackmailing. I have a suspicion, but, you know, when you see all this, I personally think that this whole battle over there in Iran that's being done is a case of economic, political, and social subterfuge, and it's being sold to the American public in this bow-wrapped package that's going on. But what we're seeing is the fact that it's certainly strengthening the position of BRICS. I think the American global market situation is being brought low as a result of it. I think it's hurting us. And there's a lot of money flowing out of this country, either through, like you were saying, missiles, Tomahawks. It's a big money pump if you look at it. I mean, that's going on. And what's the old saying? If you want to really know what's going on, follow the money. So, and I don't think it's any different. This, the stage is just larger here. So.
There was this also a speech by Melania Trump distancing herself from the Epstein business. And I think it was Jones just saying that she's trying to separate herself from Trump, from Donald. You think there's anything in that?
It sort of felt that way when she was talking about the whole situation.
Yeah. Sure do agree. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for what you're doing, man.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling, Kevin.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless. Bye. Yeah, a lot of stuff. Definitely a lot of stuff to talk about.
One of the interesting things that kind of plays into this whole deal that we were just talking about there was just over the last day or so, I think it was yesterday or the day before, the Trump administration had called in all of the most powerful American bank chiefs to an urgent closed-door meeting. And this is, again, over an AI model that they're worried about bringing down, you know, companies or national defense firewalls. And, and everything else. And this is, they announced Mythos, and it basically, it got out into the wild. Claude is what it was called, the Claude Code, I don't know, but it basically escaped its sandbox containment, has gone out, you know. When you look at all this kind of stuff, it's, this AI thing is really very real. So I don't know. I mean, we've seen instances of AI blackmailing people. We've seen instances of different stuff like that as I've been following it, and the amount of data. And I, again, I think this has fallen angel tech. It ties into the, a whole bunch of situations. One of the ways they might cover that up is through, you know, alien revealing or different things like that. But the point is, I think we're getting a lot closer to the reality, this, this antichrist, you know, manipulation on a worldwide scale. When you look at that, and win the war, what war, what's the, who's it again? Yeah. Who's it again? There's a lot of questions there. So anyways, I thought, that kind of ties into some of this other stuff with the money angle and you know, China's involved in that right up to their eyeballs. So and, when we look at all that, it makes me wonder what's going on there. I have questions.
Absolutely.
Well, switching gears, we've got about 10-15 minutes left. Some good news is I did see one of you men sent it over. I'm not sure where it came from, but the end of childhood vaccine incentives for doctors. This is this sounds like a win for us.
Yes, I thought so too. Yeah, they're not going to any longer receive rewards. So I wonder who was behind that push.
Yeah, that, that's, you know, I guess you got, my understanding of this is these pediatricians or these doctors that were pushing this, these vaccines, you know, these whatever, 65 vaccines in the first 7 years of a kid's life or whatever the heck it was, I guess they were getting payment for this or free trips or whatever.
I think they were getting up to like $250,000 a year for promoting the vaccines.
Right.
Yeah. That's a lot of money.
I have read where it was money and trips to Hawaii, and I mean really, like just real incentives. Like, hey, you know, we're gonna take care of you. You just gotta keep pushing these vaccines. Well, I guess that has been permissible and not unlawful, but I guess the whoever this is, the FDA or whomever is stepping in now saying no. Turns out, I guess that's immoral. Maybe a little bit of what would be the what would be the right thing of saying there? That is, it's if you're benefiting from this against medical advice or against medical wishes, that that's probably not something you should be doing. So I think it's great as far as medical freedom is concerned. And I will say, you know, and I give credit where credit's due in this Trump administration. We've been very negative on Trump this morning for good reason and for cause. But I still go back to Robert Kennedy Jr. and everything that has been happening on the medical and health front since Trump took over. And we're still winning on that front. That's it makes me just it makes me hope and pray that it continues and someone doesn't wake up and realize the pharmaceutical companies are losing lots of money. But right now, that is something that is still moving forward strong, and we should still be in prayer for men like Bobby Kennedy Jr.
Absolutely.
I agree 100%. Yeah, and I love it that I mean, you think about how much money that's taken away from these vaccine companies. I mean, how many vaccines do you have to sell for them to justify giving you a $250,000 a year salary? I mean, it's got to be just astronomical.
Like,
I can tell you the vaccine companies are going to tell the pediatricians just a few more. That's how many. They just wanted them to keep as many as they can.
Yeah. The article I read said one analysis of an Oregon pediatric practice projected that there was more than $1 million in annual losses for declining CDC-scheduled vaccines, largely from administrative fees. I assume that's for that one practice.
Yeah, so, I would think so, too.
And, you know, if you look at that, these are value-based payment models. And the thing is the framework that they're issued under are Medicaid, CHIP, and private insurance and private insurers. So lots of clout there. I mean, you know what I mean? So when you look at that, it also says that in some states, private insurers may go ahead and retain incentives at the private level. So, but a lot of your pediatric organizations are pushing back against these broader vaccine policy shifts under the current administration. So we've got these peer-reviewed pediatric organizations. There's that word. Did I say it? Oh, yeah. And they're not happy about it. And I'm pretty sure this is my viewpoint, but I'm pretty sure it's not because of health concerns. It's because of financial concerns. They don't like losing this money. So,
along those lines, I'll throw this out here real quick. I came across an article and I don't have it in front of me and I couldn't find it, but there is a surge. Well, let me put it a different way. There is a shortage of holistic doctors, that more and more people are turning to holistic doctors, and there's just not enough of them to go around, which I think is that's a huge thing. And I know this one article that I read that there were some folks that were driving up to 250 miles one way to be able to visit holistic doctors as an alternative to the modern medical system, because the results were phenomenal compared to the pharmaceutical industry and the modern medical industry, that they were getting better results from the holistic doctors. And I thought that was real positive.
It is. Absolutely. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, we only got a few minutes. Let's go back down a little closer to Will and go down to some Texas news. What do you know about this African dude that takes a loaded gun, 100 rounds of ammunition, and a note saying that talking about killing a pastor into a church?
Yeah, this happened in the Houston area. I can't tell you where he's from in Africa, but if you take a good look at him, he's definitely a continental African. And my understanding is that he had been this church there in the Houston area, he was known to the church, and it wasn't because he was a parishioner. It was because he had been hanging around and giving everybody the creeps, and he showed up and was intercepted by some security there at the church, and he had a loaded revolver and about 100 rounds of ammunition on him. And like you said, Jason, he had a note on his phone that he was there to I believe kill the pastor. And this is another example of somebody who shouldn't be here being here and wanting to do harm to our folks. And this is initially, you know, I thought this, I had to do a little research, but I thought maybe this was a black church or a traditionally black church or whatever. And it wasn't, it was a kind of a racial church or whatever, but regardless, he was there for no good, and thankfully he was intercepted before anybody got hurt. But it's just one more example of people who shouldn't be here being here and wanting to hurt good American folks.
Exactly. Now, was I had a hard time figuring out, did he write the note, or was it a note that somebody else had texted him or given him or something like that? Was it like instructions, or was it just something that he had written? Do you know?
That is to be determined, because okay. That there was a, if you look at the local coverage off of some of the Houston channels. I think there was a Fox affiliate that said that it was a text message, like in a signal thread or something like that. But I think some of, like, Fox News out of New York was saying that he had written himself a note. And which I don't know about you. I maybe people do. I don't write myself notes on my phone. That's odd. No. But yeah, that does make you wonder, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's significant that the church had a guard there. Good for them. You know, I mean, did you guys ever think that we would actually see a time in our country when your churches need armed guards? But there's a big move on. I know right now they're advertising in our area a lot for, they're putting on, can't think who it is, like the Concealed Carry Association or something, but they're putting on, you know, training seminars for churches on having protection in their church services.
It is a huge business across the United States. And I'll actually tie this back to something here in the ministry. But this is a huge business in the United States, and more firearms instructors are taking that up to help organize security teams with lawful considerations and different tactics, to where I personally know people who are instructors for this, where they're coming in on Tuesdays or Thursday nights inside the church, and they're setting up seminitions and going through drills with deacons in the church and church security teams on how to intercept bad people that are coming in to do harm to the preachers and the parishioners and that sort of thing. Well, I'm going to pause there and say that has become reality in the United States. Well, that was reality back in the early 1990s in South Africa. And I know Pastor Pete had on the gentleman that stopped the four terrorists with a 5-shot revolver. You guys remember that?
Yep.
There in South Africa. And that guy ended up writing a book, I think, called Shoot Back or something like that. So it has been for the last 30 years amongst the white population in South Africa and amongst the Afrikaans population where they've been doing this for 3 decades. Well, fast forward to where we're at now in this United States, and it sure seems like we're starting to look more and more like we're Johannesburg and less like we're the old United States that we know.
Yeah, definitely a new reality here for us. So,
absolutely.
And it's legit.
I think it's a good idea to carry wherever you go. It doesn't matter where you go, but it does have a weird feeling that it's becoming so organized and formal, so to speak, you know, where it's becoming a necessity. I had it told to me, I don't know how true this is, I'll just throw it out, but I had it told to me that there was a particular church that was looking to institute this because it was actually lowered their insurance rates if they had security on site.
Wow.
Huh. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Don't know if that's true, but that was what was told to me.
Very interesting. Well, we've got 2 minutes left. Closing thoughts, gentlemen.
We certainly are living in more uncertain times, and it certainly behooves us, just like what we were just talking about, to stay alert, stay armed, and be proactive. That's kind of my closing thought, and I think that we're required to be that way, biblically speaking, too. Occupy is one of those military terms. So that's
when it when it comes to safety and security of you and your family, just remember this: if it's to be, it's up to me. Nobody's going to do it for you.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, we are out of time, guys. Thanks for being here this morning. I sure do appreciate it.
Thank you.
And
you bet.
Remnant, thank you for being here. And again, if you'd like that book, Authority, Resistance, or Obedience, write to me within the next week. Let me know in the next week, and you get that free of charge sent out to you. Just make sure you include your address. We'll go out with this.
You've always been told to obey the government and to not resist authority, but it's getting harder and harder to reconcile new laws with your stance as a Christian. The Authority Package contains the booklet, Authority, Resistance, or Obedience. The Authority Package also includes 6 sermons that explain a proper view of government and its rightful powers and limits. To order the Authority Package, send $40 for DVDs, $20 for CDs, or $50 for both to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado 80535.